about?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was, yeah, that's definitely my group with that enthusiasm and resounding yes. Great, so I think what we're gonna do is give each group a chance to talk through the ideas, what you were working on in your group, where you got to, and given that we do have some more time tomorrow to revisit some of these questions, if there's a key priority or open question that you have as a group that you are eager to jump back in on, or that they like to sort of use time with this group. How much time do we have? We have plus six.
We have until six, but I think
we'd like
we
to
have
speak
until
up.
People run out of energy or something.
Great, whichever happens first. Excellent. So, does that, James, who expressed such enthusiasm?
Sure.
Does that mean you want to go first?
Sure.
So, just to set expectations on timing that are a little bit more concrete, up to 7 to 10 minutes of reporting out and then a few minutes of questions.
Yeah.
At the very most. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just happy I don't have to follow cable again.
No.
So our group is looking at this question of how can we broaden, how can we bring ourselves out of ourselves instead of talking to ourselves in the OER world or in the open world? How can we form broader coalitions, seek more allies around the larger goals that we think that we pursue around equity, diversity, inclusion, social justice writ large. And I share this vision, kind of a haunting vision that I have of being down at the end of the road with all these other organizations and allies, you know, with unicorns and butterflies and achieving justice, right? Where I suppose we all want to be. And then we're over here fighting with each other about licenses. You know, how do we get over there with everyone who's in this room and others to achieve the goals that we want? So I think that's sort of the broad stage. And I personally felt pretty comfortable starting off the discussion based on the document that we had worked on in our group with Angela and Richard and Philip. And after some really good discussion, including Tanya and Lisa and Rachel and Jeff. And Jeff, I and Willem, my dear friend Willem, representing the rest of the world. I feel much less certain about how to get there now. So the landscape analysis, which seems so...
Yeah, it seemed very concrete and straightforward.
Concrete. People do this all the time. Redstone probably does landscape analysis every day, right? Easy peasy. But it strikes me as much more amorphous and difficult and challenging now. Because we encounter questions around, well, what actually are we trying to achieve? Like, how do we actually articulate the why, short of unicorns and butterflies? Like what is our value proposition to any other organization that we would want to ally ourselves with? What do we bring to them? Let alone, what can we learn from them? I think we're pretty clear that we would like to approach other organizations with humility, to understand their strategy, their tactics, how they frame their value propositions to their constituencies and larger society. But we're still kind of not on firm ground, I think, about how we articulate our value proposition in those larger terms. Yet, we agreed that we would like to identify a few organizations. We're not sure whether it will be within one sector of higher education or one sector of, let's say, DEI work, but identify a discrete number of organizations to learn about and to present ourselves to as potential allies who would like to engage with them in this joint pursuit of these larger goals. But I think there's still a lot of work in between so that we can better articulate what it is that we want and what we bring to the table. Is that fair? Yeah, Tanya? Willem? Okay. So there we are.
Lisa.
So, and Lisa.
Yeah,
questions? any additions? Rachel? Made good sense
only,
of things?
I think the one thing that would add to it is that we believe that the work that you are doing would also contribute to how we're doing. And so the cohesion of all of the groups together will create a more framework for each of us. So if we hear what you're doing, that gives us kind of a link to our puzzle that we're missing, and then we can take off from there.
Yeah.
We're gonna add some links to your puzzle.
Thank
you. I'm just gonna say that. I will also say we don't do a landscape analysis unless we understand the goal.
Yeah. So, but applause to Rachel for making some sense of what we said.
Subtweet to some.
And I you said this, but I just want to iterate that this idea about who we are is an approach to the issues we're trying to solve as social justice, you know, advocacy, those kinds of things. It isn't just about OER as the goal.
Yeah.
I think that was a really important piece.
Yeah, OER is not the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe, Peter, our group, the group we were in, might be a good one to go to next.
Okay. So we were talking about conducting experiments with licensing. And we decided that it might be a good idea to actually focus on some topics that those experiments would be around. In the past, I know when Kurt and I have talked about stuff like experiments with open courseware licensing, we've thought about what are the courses that are being taught. This is linear algebra, so we should figure out ways of opening up the linear algebra content in the OCW course and changing that license and making sure that the linear algebra page or pages or mathematics page in Wikipedia have more open courseware in them. But instead, what if we decided that we could figure out what the issues are that experiments should be conducted around? So one of them is climate change, one of them is inequality, one of them is healthcare. And what if we worked with the assets that we had represented in our group, where Nick from the press, open access director, Kurt running open courseware, if we took the corpus of open courseware and the corpus of 8,000 plus books that the VMIT Press has published to date, and we explored what resources were available in those things, in those corpuses that would be worth freely licensing such that that information could be more freely shared. So we came up with a hub of movement-centered resources and tools that would facilitate the success of social movements. Echoing what you guys were saying, it's not that open is the thing, but open is a way to the thing. And that thing is equality, justice, liberty, freedom, whatever. Then we thought about assessing the needs for each of those social groups, like the movements and the groups that are active. So depending on your landscape scan, or you know, we'd know that there are 20 groups in climate change that we could work with as educators and as publishers or whatever else we are. And we could facilitate the knowledge that them receiving better access to the knowledge that we that they need. How open do those resources need to be? Ultimately, they should be freely licensed. So we talked about different licenses, but ultimately they should fall into the commons. And then we talked about identifying something even further, which is the means of production, excuse that language, but like, that need to be community owned and operated. So in other words, not relying on Taylor and Francis to freely license 4 articles about the coronavirus, but figuring out ways in the future of having a journal ourselves that could be community owned such that we could, right? Like publish articles on the coronavirus. Stop me if I'm misrepresenting this. We talked about changing open educational resources. It's not maybe resources so much as like ultimately enabling an infrastructure that is not just assets, but the means of publishing and distributing those assets. It's not so much education as operational
resources or infrastructure that helps a climate change group or a mental health advocacy group or a, you know, yeah, what other causes
economic
are there?
Development.
What?
Economic development.
Economic development group, operational. And we talked about not necessarily open, but ultimately free. So we came up with, this was Nathan's acronym, FOI, as opposed to, you're just a facilitator? Did I say that? Strike that from the record.
No, no, yeah, I'm happy to.
Yeah.
I don't want to take anyone's work.
Yeah, so ultimately organizing the work of these experiments around the movements that we want to ally with and around the goals, SDG goals, in fact, that we want to achieve, which is a different approach than the top-down approach, I think, we were thinking of, you know, 90 minutes ago. And that was, you know, encapsulating sort of 700 of Hal's ideas that percolated.
I just add one thing, which is that I think we did talk a lot, as Peter said, about like courseware and books and intellectual property products, but we also talked a lot about software and legal instruments, that a lot of the work that would actually support those movements might be in the form of, yeah, better software to enable, you know, an organizer to keep track of who their contacts are and how they're doing it and not reliant on proprietary software, or help a cooperative cab company do scheduling more effectively. And that there might be legal infrastructure that you need. So like, what is a contract that enables, or what is the set of contracts that enables a cooperative cab company to operate well and freely? And could you make those, that contract, that body of contracts freely and openly available to anyone who's doing it so that they don't have to figure out all the legal mechanisms over it?
Yeah, open tools for economic empowerment. And by getting close to the groups that are struggling to become free from oppressive economic structures, and getting close enough to them to understand what it is that they need, so that the kinds of resources that we're equipped to provide can be delivered to them, and not assuming that we know a priori what those on the front lines of the struggles to address climate change or income inequality or to develop supply chains in economic commerce that are more humane and respectful of workers' rights, that we can't assume that we know what they need, but that we can get close enough to those groups to do a really comprehensive needs assessment and then figure out what resources that they and people like them could be provided with.
And I think it was you who said that it's like taking OER's original sort of guidance to solve problems in education and thinking about OER instead as setting out to solve problems in the world. And that kind of connects a bit with, you know, the papers we were asked to read that we'll hear more about tomorrow. And I don't know whether that's an acceptable extension of the mission that we're involved in, but it seems fairly mission critical to me.
Questions or
anything? I would add that we also did talk a little a bit about the origin conception of, you know, this this work, about what kinds of things could, you know, get the word out more effectively to people who aren't quite sure which form of license they should be doing. You know, no question that the things we're talking about here, the problems we're trying to solve, are best served by having, you know, the most open license possible. But I think we also came up with, I think, some really, really good creative ways to think more specifically about case studies in particular kinds of challenges that a choice of a particular license cuts off particular kinds of uses. And, you know, you might ask somebody, I
this Hal, this was your suggestion. I thought it was really clever. I ask people to say, I decline to have my work used in a small entrepreneur's business to solve some problem by virtue of choosing the non-commercial license, for instance. Just like putting that information out in a really crisp, concrete way to help people understand the ramifications of the license choice they're making.
Two things about that. Hal mentioned, if I can, that early on in the movement's existence, he published some of his own work with an NC restriction and received a message from Aaron Swartz detailing for him all of the things that NC restriction would therefore forbid community groups, potential beneficiaries,
zero.
Other users, zero.
Yeah, he was worried about Xeroxing.
Yeah, this is, the guy. And another thing we were talking about was not only looking backwards at the corpus of 2,400 OCW courses or everything MIT has produced to date or any other university and working especially with community colleges, which is in many ways an even better fit for some of these SDG goals and movement-oriented objectives than, the ivory tower institutions that some of us come to. Not only looking backwards at the things that MIT Press has published to date, but actually producing new courses, new resources that with this kind of community, again, not just the educational community, but the world beyond it in mind, acquiring new books and journal articles for the purpose of helping advance those SDG goals. So if there are ways in which, our little group can work with James's group, Cable's group, to identify the organizations we should be working with after a landscape scan that you may or may not do with Redstone. And, after we figure out, what the SDG-focused SDG university curriculum is, that would be super good.
Outside group?
Principals.
Outside. The outsiders.
Breath of fresh air.
Last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although you're defining success, so maybe you should have.
So this is interesting because I hear in some of the other conversations that you had, and part of what we talked about, it kind of touches upon what we talked about, which was, I think we started with coalescing maybe around an issue in the field, which is there is a. Scattered efforts. OER is a large community, it's a global community. There's a lot of work happening. There's a lot of successes in some way, but we all perceive that a lot of work is coordinated. People are kind of doing things on their own, kind of in their own way, kind of in their silos, and that funding is limited, right? And in some instances, OER-focused organizations are kind of competing for this kind of same small pot of funds. And that it would be great to have what we imagine was the word we use is a roadmap, right? Maybe for the next 20 years of how to maybe organize the field and the work that it's doing. And so there's less duplication. There's more kind of a identification of kind of the roles that organizations will play, foundations will play in a way that is doesn't duplicate effort and that is kind of streamlining the effort. And to do that, we need some kind of what we called it was a kind of an ideal state, articulate some kind of, and you guys have talked about this a little bit in the other groups. What are we doing here? Like, what is this work about? How can we express 20 years from now, what we want, in this case, higher education, right? Higher education to look like with the impact of the work that's happening right now. we also recognized that we were elites, and like the negative term, elites sitting, you know, we were a North American centric, we're a very small group of people. And so for us to determine what that ideal state is probably isn't going to be welcomed by a global movement. And so our goal our deliverable really is to begin both kind of begin this articulation, a kind of straw man, right? It's going to compose some document along with a process to engage the global community in crafting some kind of, again, this ideal state, right? And this is, we talked a lot about the UNESCO recommendations and how that evolved, this kind of global process. So we get it started, this kind of small group, but it would be a collaborative process, it would be a global process. We identified some possible organizations that have a kind of a global impact that might be, I think the term used, a secretariat, might hold, kind of be in charge of this process and feel some kind of ownership of it. It would be transparent. And that in the end, we'd be confident that whatever emerged from that kind of final outcome, that it had input of everybody. It was reflective of the global community's input. So we've got a draft statement that we kind of started amplifying the one that Cable had linked to. That we're going to continue to work on and craft in the next couple of months, as well as the kind of outlining the process we're going to go through. And then the next step is really kind of approaching these identified organizations, maybe other ones, to see kind of what kind of traction we can get with them, their level of interest. There's a possibility that, you know, at some point we may identify the need for funding, if there's a, you know, if there's meetings that happen. But the first couple of months are really kind of creating kind of a straw man and kind of run the idea and then planning out kind of, sharing it out and how it would go out to the global community. But, you know, I think if this were done right, it would help with these other things, would help with really kind of coalescing and some of these other ideas about kind of what the focus of the work should be or what's prioritized as well.
Yeah.
How'd I do? Anything else to add, Mikey?
I have a quick question. How did you talk about how detailed the roadmap would get? Like, so, you know, a 6-8 math curriculum in Florida for the upcoming Florida adoption, is that on the roadmap or is that like 5 levels down from what exists?
I don't know if we really talked in detail. We did talk about other examples where possibly you create a kind of model structure and then it's adapted. So this has been done kind of in global communities where you create something maybe that works kind of broadly and then it's kind of adapted more to kind of on the local level.
Gotcha.
I think the idea that we kind of discussed is, you know, we have this ideal state with very broad expectations or broad goals. And then, you know, working with the community, working as a group, we sort of identify various benchmarks, initiatives, et cetera, that will sort of help us get to that ideal state. And, you know, I think the thing that we found appealing about this idea is it would allow organizations, people, et cetera, to sort of hop into various parts of that roadmap. So it kind of allows, you know, everyone to be specializing in whatever they do well, but at the same time, sort of all working towards that final ideal state. But we didn't necessarily get into the specifics of, we threw around some ideas of like what that ideal state may look like. I think that's part of the work over the next couple of months that we'll be doing.
A lot of overlap.
Just one quick add. When we're trying to talk about, we spent a lot of time talking about, is this even worthwhile? Like, why should we do this? And Ryan just talked about a few. Providing ladders or ways in for especially new community members to say, hey, I could help fix that. That's on the roadmap. That's something that I could do to help all the different NGOs that work in this space to maybe better cooperate and align. Another one of them was around funders. So not just foundations, but governments as well, to the extent that they want to put money into supporting open education
It not only would be a roadmap for them to see why, like what do my dollars get me, but there would be a clear set of activities along that roadmap that they could say, oh, that's something I could fund. Like I can fund that. Maybe it's I can fund that in my country, or I can fund that at Florida 4-6 adoption. Like there's going to be lots of opportunities. And then the last thing, as we were talking about that, we said, you know, it would help us identify gaps in our plan. So when you lay out a plan from where you are to where you want to go, the gaps become really apparent fairly quickly, and which is not an exercise that a lot of us engage in a lot, because we all have our individual silos that we work in, right? So we don't see the gaps sometimes. We're blind to them.
Well, good. I think we did a lot, even in the afternoon, and want to especially thank folks who are coming from the East Coast, so into the mid to late evening for some of you. I think it's really exciting to hear all three groups, I think, grappling with some really big questions about the future of, in some cases, OER, in other cases, the open movement writ large. I think there are some, I think, as we are all hearing, some natural points of intersection. I think one thing that's interesting to consider is the way in which the landscape analysis that you were talking about potentially turns on opportunities for the kind of partnering that Peter, Hal, Kurt, Jamie's group was thinking about. And that also the way in which that roadmap that you're describing in some ways is taking the next cut at building out what is the, I guess, free operating infrastructure for the OER movement, for what actually it takes to do open education well. Which you could then imagine using that kind of approach to think about what is the set of open tools that the climate movement needs, or the economic justice or equality movement needs in the United States. So I think there's a lot of interesting points of intersection. I think the plan for tomorrow is to start by, to Peter's point, introducing some big ideas into the conversation that could cause us to significantly reconsider the work we did this afternoon, which is part of the design here. And so we'll have time tomorrow afternoon after those conversations to reassess. And I think we'll facilitate a conversation about whether to get back into these groups, whether to use different groups, shuffle. Hopefully we'll have a sense coming out of that morning conversation, and especially the conversation with Larry, that will involve some Q&A. Where the feeling of the group is, and we'll have time over lunch to start laying that out too. Great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, and I think we're coming back at
6:30. And we'll watch a movie. So I know people who've been eating popcorn have been searching for an excuse to eat more popcorn tonight. We're gonna watch a short film. won't give it away. Some of it's in the agenda, but it's kind of amazing. And we'll be joined by the producer-director, Francesca Panetta, from our new Center for Advanced Virtuality. Okay, that's really the name of it.
So we're in this room at 6:30.
Yeah, 6:30.
And dinner is here.
Dinner is
in here at 6:30.
Yeah.
But we have to be out of this room
at 6.
By 6.
So they can
reconfigure. So the caterers have to.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we can hang out.
And people, I mean.
Like, where's the bar?
Will and ask this question.
I suppose if people don't want to go anywhere, maybe we, like, there's a little space lounge. Yeah, right there. I do not have drinks. But maybe they're coming with dinner.
Yeah, they're right there.